It is said that in a pastor's conference, a question was asked, and the question was as follows: what makes Christianity different from all the other religions of the world? Then answers came from the floor. Some said it is the doctrine of incarnation, the teaching that God became man. Others said that it is the doctrine of resurrection, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again. The discussion became heated with a number of different opinions and answers that came from the floor. It was during that time that a pastor and a writer by the name of C.S. Lewis came in and sat down. He asked what the debate was about. When he heard that the debate was about the uniqueness of Christianity, he immediately commented, "Oh, it's easy. It is God's grace. At the heart of Christianity is the grace of God. When you take away God's grace, you destroy Christianity." But unfortunately, there are so many Christians today and people who do not understand what God's grace is and what it is all about. Some people have made God's grace to be not what it is. Some people have made God's grace to be a license to sin. And there are many things that the Bible teaches us about God's grace. But tonight, as we look at the topic, the grace of God, I just want to draw your attention to three things that we find in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11 to verse number 14. As we come to this passage, let me just put it in its context. Paul is writing to a young minister by the name of Titus. Titus is ministering in a difficult place, so to speak, called Crete. In this context, he is facing a number of challenges and a number of opposition to the gospel. And Paul writes to him and gives him some instructions from verse 1 to verse 10. He tells him what he's supposed to teach to the different groups present in the church. He starts with older men. He goes to older women, younger women, young men, slaves, and so on. And then coming to verse 11, he actually gives the reason why he is instructing Titus to teach these things. And the reason is that God's grace has been revealed. God's grace has appeared. It is this grace, brothers and sisters, which is at the heart of salvation. It is this grace that has made us to gather this way tonight. But then what does God's grace do? The first thing we are told here in verse number 11 is that God's grace brings salvation. Look at verse number 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared." To whom does it bring salvation? Number one, we are told it brings salvation to all people. Now, this doesn't mean that every individual is saved or will be saved. But what it does mean is that God's grace is open to all men from all different backgrounds of the world. God's grace is for everyone. And when it comes, it brings salvation. In other words, it brings forgiveness of sins. It reconciles people to God. It helps people to realize that they are lost sinners who need the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul is saying that, he is conscious of the fact that there are people who are taking this grace of God for granted. And he says to Titus, remember, you are where you are today as a Christian because of God's grace. If it wasn't for God's grace, you and I wouldn't be here tonight, isn't it? We're not here because we are better than those who are not here. If you are a Christian tonight, you are not a Christian because you are better than those who are not, but you are because of God's grace. The fact Paul is making here is that salvation is entirely by God's grace. It is a free gift of God to all mankind. We find the same words, isn't it, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, where Paul says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." What does it mean to be saved by grace? What is grace? Grace is nothing else but the undeserved favor of God. Paul is saying to Titus, the fact that the undeserved favor of God has appeared, it requires those who preach the gospel to remain faithful to the truth of the gospel. Now, this undeserved favor of God, we need to understand that it doesn't just function in a vacuum. This undeserved favor of God can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we can't speak about God's grace without speaking about Jesus. Because the grace of God is only manifested in Christ. It is in Christ that we come to understand what it means to be loved, what it means to be saved graciously by our Creator. And along with God's grace is God's love, which is what we hear in John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." You can't separate grace from Christ. Without Christ, there is no grace. And without grace, there is no Christ. Because the grace of God is only seen in Christ. That is in fact what Paul also says in Romans, where he says, "God demonstrated his love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now the grace of God is made to be understood by the fact that Christ came into this world to die. One writer says, "The heart of the gospel is the supreme truth that God accepts us with no condition whatever when we put our trust in the atoning sacrifice of his incarnate Son. It is by his infinite grace that we are saved, not by moral character, works of righteousness, commandment keeping, or church going," end quote. Let me ask you tonight, have you received this wonderful grace of God? Has God's grace appeared in your life? And if it has, therefore, it has indeed brought salvation. One of the reasons why we often miss God's grace, as I said this morning, is because we try by all means to please God in our own ways, that we miss the grace of God which is freely made available for us in Christ. We often think God is going to say to us when we come before him, "How many times did you go to church?" Hey, you stayed away from church more than you went to church. Therefore, you're not going to church aways. You're going to church, so therefore, you're not going to be acceptable to me. It is not like that. God looks at who we are, not in ourselves, but in Christ, because his grace has made heaven available through faith in Christ. Now, when the grace appears, Paul says it brings salvation to all people. It was important for Paul to say this because in those days, the Jews thought they were the only special people of God. They thought other nations didn't matter. And Paul speaks to Titus and he lets him understand that the grace he's talking about is not the grace that selects people from a particular race. It is grace that is available for everyone who comes to God in faith. Maybe you are here tonight and you're really wondering how you could be saved. And the message I'm giving to you, I'm bringing to you is, it is by God's grace. And this grace of God is available at the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, so that when we believe in him, we may be acceptable to God. Salvation is entirely the gift. It is said that a Christian missionary befriended a devout Hindu man, and for many years he tried to explain to him that salvation is by grace. But the Hindu guy could not understand. One day the Hindu guy told his Christian friend that he was going to crawl many miles to the capital city as a means of earning his salvation. But before he left, because it was possible that he would not return, he came with a small box, beautiful, and gave it to his friend. When the Christian missionary opened it, he discovered that it had the most beautiful gift ever found on earth. And he tried to pay for it. But the Hindu guy said, "No. You can't pay for it. It is not worth any price. My own son gave his life to earn this beautiful gift. Therefore, you can't pay for it." It is said that the Christian paused a moment and looked at his friend and said to him, "For many years, ever since I've known you, I've been trying to explain the same thing to you. Heaven is a free gift that God gives to us through his son. There is no price. There is no matter how many kilometers or miles you crawl, you can never earn the gift of salvation. It is free because God gave his only son to offer it to us. Salvation is indeed by grace." Number two, we are also told here that God's grace does not only bring salvation. Have a look at verse number 12. "The same grace that brings salvation is the same grace that sanctifies. The grace of God teaches us or trains us to be holy." Have a look at verse 12. "It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Now, Paul moves on to the next level. That grace doesn't only save, but grace also sanctifies. Those who are saved by grace are also transformed by the same grace. In other words, this grace enables us to live a changed life. There is no way you can claim to be saved by grace and your life never changes. Something is wrong there. Definitely not with God's grace, but something is wrong with you. For what God's grace can do, it does it perfectly. The word "teaches" actually is a word that means to train. The holiness that Paul is talking about here is not an overnight process. It is a lifetime process. The same grace that brings us out of sin is the same grace that helps us to make sure that our lives are being transformed to be more like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. It teaches us to say no. One of the most important words you need to learn as a Christian is the word no. Especially as a young person. There are things you need to say no to. I know it's not nice to say no. Because we don't want to disappoint our peers, isn't it? We don't want to disappoint our friends. We don't want to disappoint our colleagues. So to say no becomes difficult. And as someone saved by grace, if you are, and if you are not, the moment you are saved by grace, you need to understand that that very same grace that draws you to Christ is the very same grace that requires you to learn this word, no, to ungodliness, no, to worldly passions. What is ungodliness? It's anything ungodly. And this way, in these days, it is so easy to be caught up with ungodliness, isn't it? You find it over internet. You find it on social networks. Everywhere. But as Christians, as those saved by grace, we are required to say no. And when you say no, one thing you need to understand, you're not going to become popular with some people. They will start giving you names. Especially at work, for those who work. People will start giving you labels because they know you are good in saying no. When people abuse the internet at work because they don't pay for it, you say no. I'm not talking to you, don't do that, isn't it? When people don't do their work because their boss is away, you say no. No to ungodliness. No to anything that contradicts the will of God. But God's grace doesn't only teach us to say no, but it also teaches us to say yes. Yes to what? Self-controlled lives. One thing we need to understand, friends, is that holiness doesn't come automatically. I don't become a Christian today and tomorrow my life is changed and so on. As Christians, we face challenges and temptations every day. And if you don't face those, there is a big question mark on your salvation if you are a Christian. But if you are not a Christian, you're not going to see your sinful life as a temptation because it is part of your life. It is only when you have come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior that you're able to realize there is something called temptation. It is in the midst of those that we are required to live self-controlled lives. It is in that time that we are required to hold our horses. Self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Underline the word present age, because Paul understood the time we live in. The time we live in, even today, is not conducive for Christian life, isn't it? We live in the time which is hostile to godliness. We live in the time where ungodliness seems to be the most popular way of doing things and the way of life. In marriages, in family lives, in workplaces, in universities, in schools, in churches, all over. But as Christians, saved by God's grace, we're required to be disciplined. We need to say no to a number of things. Say no to idolatry. Say no to sexual immorality. Say no to racism. Say no to impurity. Say no to greed. Say no to looking down on others, thinking we are better than everyone. Say no. God's grace teaches us to say no. Why should we say no? Have a look at verse number 14. It tells us that Christ didn't save us to remain the same. Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are very eager to do what is good. Are you eager to do what is good? I know you're thinking, that's not easy, but it's still possible by God's grace. God will not call us to do something impossible. The fact that God's grace requires us to change, it actually means that God's grace is not cheap. One writer says, cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, or communion without confession. Cheap grace is the grace without holiness. Maybe you've been a Christian here tonight for a number of years. Let me ask you, how are you doing in the area of holiness? How is your life? When you look at your life before you came to know Christ and after you've been a Christian, do you see any change? I know you're still struggling with that sin. Yes, that one you think about. I know. But is your life changing? Do you see your sinful life as a struggle that you're trying to resist? Or do you see it as part and parcel of your life? Holiness doesn't imply as Christians we are going to be perfect. But it implies that we are going to strive to please God. Because holiness is one of the ways we can thank God for graciously saving us from our sins. And the Bible also tells us in Hebrews 12 verse 14 that without holiness no one will see. Are you saved by grace tonight? Thank God if you are. And if you are not, God's grace is still available for you while it is still today. You can come to Christ even tonight. You can come and receive this free offer of salvation by faith in Christ. And if you have, may God help you to live in a way that shows you have received his grace. Because the world out there is watching. And when our lives do not conform to what we claim to be in Christ, God's name is blasphemed. And the Bible is very clear that God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. May God teach us as Christians to say no to anything that is against his will and to say yes to everything that pleases him. And the last thing we are told here is that God's grace prepares us for the glorious return of Christ, our blessed hope. Have a look at verse number 13. Paul says, while we wait for our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. As Christians, we need to understand that we are not saved by grace to forever remain in this life. This world is not our home. Our hope is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will redeem us and save us completely from this life of sin. Don't you sometimes wish as a Christian that the day you were saved, you were taken out of this world? Because your life wouldn't be in a situation it is today. And I feel the same sometimes. But I'm encouraged by the fact that even though I'm struggling, but God's grace keeps me going. If it wasn't for God's grace, I would have quitted a long time ago. But God's grace keeps us going because there is the hope we look forward to. And what is the hope? It is the return of Christ. And this Christ we look forward to return, he's not just the Savior. We are here told he is also our God. And when he appears, he will take us home where there will be no temptation. Where the sin I've been struggling with for many years will be conquered finally. Where there will be no longer lack of employment. Where there will be no longer peer pressure. Where there will be no longer marriage problems. But everything will be perfect. That's what grace does. It helps us to realize that our struggles in this life are but for a time being. We're not going to struggle with sin forever. Christ will return, and is here described as our blessed hope. May God help us not to come to believe in Christ for the things of this world, such as beautiful houses, beautiful cars, and so on. May he help us to realize that our main hope is the coming of Christ, who will take us home. And when Christ appears, he will set us free and completely free from sin. And I'm looking forward to that. Secondly, when he appears, the Bible also says he will transform our lowly bodies, the bodies that are prone to sin, because these bodies are made of this world, this flesh. Have you ever noticed when you become a Christian, your body doesn't change? It still wants the same sinful things you used to do. And as a Christian, you have this constant struggle where your body wants what is contrary to God, and your soul, deep down in your core, you want to please God, but most of the time, you find it hard. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 47, actually, when he speaks about his struggle with sin. He says, the good things I want to do, I cannot do. But the bad things I do not want, I keep on doing. I keep on unnecessarily fighting with my dear wife for no reason. I keep fighting with people at work, even when I said to myself, when I woke up going to work, I'm going to try and behave today, and I just lose it. But thank God that when Christ returns, all of that will be over. And thank God that even though we struggle there, yet God's grace keeps us in Christ. Have you received God's grace tonight? Has God's grace been revealed to you? Have you received the free gift of salvation through faith in Christ? If you are not, I would like to invite you, as I'm drawing to conclusion, invite you to accept this free gift. Don't look at a Christian life from outside and say, how am I going to make it? It is not based on your power, your experience, your ability. It is based on what God has done for us in Christ. I used to think, as an unbeliever, how will I be able to do this? How will I be able to live for so many years even before I get married? I don't know how long it's going to take me to get married. How am I going to live alone when I've been so used to have sexual relationships before marriage? But when I became a Christian, I came to realize it's not about what I can do, but it's about what Christ has done for me. The mistake we do, we look at a Christian life from outside, and therefore we think it is impossible. Yes, in your power as a human being, it is impossible. But in Christ, a Christian life has been made possible for sinners such as you and me, because it is by God's grace. That very same grace will help you conquer the sins you never thought you would. And that same grace will help you realize that a Christian life is not lived on experience, but it is lived on a day-to-day basis. And that same grace will focus your hope not on what you cannot do, but on what Christ has done for you and his return when he comes to take you to glory. Why don't you join me as I pray tonight? Why don't you join me as we thank God for his grace? And may you pray, if you have not received God's grace, may you ask God to open your heart, to show you this wonderful gift of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. And if you have, may God help you that this same grace transform your life every day, your marriage, your work life, your relationship with others and with your family on a day-to-day basis. And may this grace help you realize that Christ will return. And when he returns, all the struggles of this life will come to an end. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful, wonderful grace. The grace, Lord, that saves sinners such as us. If it wasn't for your grace, oh Lord, we wouldn't be here tonight. But because of your grace, which is made known in Christ, we are here. Father, for those who might be here tonight who do not know God's grace yet, I do pray that, Lord, you may open their hearts and speak to them. For those of us, Lord, who know your grace, our prayer is that this very same grace will help us change. It will help us even conquer those sins that has kept us slaves so many years. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you gave us your Son to die for us, that he may offer heaven to us as a free gift, which is only received through faith. Our prayer tonight, O Lord, is that you may help all of those who are here, those who do not know Christ, to turn to him, and those who know Christ to grow in their relationship with him. Father, we commit this week to you, that you may help us wherever we are to manifest the grace of God as it is working, bringing a transformation of our lives. For Jesus' sake, we thank you. Amen.